We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on an ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. But she can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside her. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview. The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Good morning. Happy Fri-yay, or Friday. It's August 23rd, and that means that the demonic national convention is finally over, and we saw that Kamala Harris accepted the nomination by the DNC for president last night in a speech that was supposed to deliver joy and project optimism, but ultimately, I think, fell quite flat. I mean, she delivered it pretty well. There wasn't a lot of cackling, and she actually stayed on teleprompter, so props to her for that. But it fell a little flat because in all of her bloviating about policy and how she's going to protect the vote, and this is all pro-democracy, remember, because this is all about joy and ensuring that, you know, America persists as a democracy. They don't recognize that we're a constitutional republic, of course. She didn't actually earn any votes. I mean, this is the candidate who has been propped up by a coup from the Democrat Party that they're going around their process to just throw Joe Biden out in the dumpster in the back and then just prop up their own candidate who has all of these promises while she's been in the vice presidency for the last 3.5 years. So Brit Hume, I think, on Fox News had the comment of the night last night. This is cut one.
This is obviously the night that more people than have ever seen her before will see her in one, you know, one event. And what we're witnessing, Brett, is at least an attempt at a political alchemy, because it wasn't very long ago when Kamala Harris was regarded, certainly in Washington, where she'd been a senator and then vice president, as something of a laughingstock. She was given to these sudden outbursts of sentences that were put down by a lot of people as word salad. And she said some truly inane things. There's no doubt about that. It is also the case that she composed, through statements she's made and things she supported, a pretty radical record. In fact, she described herself as a radical. That's all now to be set aside. We should forget all those things. This woman we thought was kind of a silly person and kind of a giggling lightweight is presented now as Mamala and this wonderful family woman who's never hesitated, as you heard, to reach across the aisle and all the rest of it. And she will emerge here tonight. And the question is, will anybody buy it?
Will anybody buy it? Well, some people at the DNC clearly are buying it. They're buying all of the lies. But let's welcome in Jeff Hunt, my good friend, who's actually there in Chicago, has been at the DNC for the last 4 days. I don't think quite as undercover as Matt Walsh, but Jeff Hunt is a radio host with Salem News Denver from my former home state on 710 KNUS. You can listen to him from 6 to 10, I believe, Mountain Time. But Jeff, did you get one of those Project 2025 .com cards? I mean, Matt Walsh being undercover, I think, was actually one of the bright spots and hilarious at the DNC.
These, you know, moments take place at the Democrat National Convention with undercover conservatives like Matt Walsh. By the way, he's got the new movie coming out, Am I a Racist, which is amazing. I think you've seen a pre-screening of that, haven't you?
I have, and it is amazing, yeah. And everyone needs to see it when it comes out in September. Yes, it's
that's right.
Unbelievable.
So, look, it's been an absolutely wild week. I spent 4 days more with protesters and activists because we thought that the Democrat convention might look like 1968, which didn't really materialize. But it was a wild week of progressive ideas fighting for a spotlight, right? I was with communists and socialists and feminists and LGBTQ and Islamists and all of them competing to get a spotlight, all focused and culminating last night with Kamala Harris's main stage speech. And I'll be honest, Jenna, I feel like I'm reliving 2008 all over again. And many of you all remember that you had an unknown senator that people complained was the most progressive senator with no serious experience, but that all didn't matter because they ginned up in people this idea that he is likable and friendly and hope and change, and that marketing effort that was put together to get Barack Obama elected, that same machine is kicking in to get Kamala Harris elected. And Jenna, I'm terrified because I don't think Republicans ever came out with a way to really stop Barack Obama. And now that same exact machine is getting Kamala Harris elected. Nobody has any idea really what she stands for. She has no experience. She's just kind of this feel-good candidate. They even brought Oprah out to help her. And I don't know if Trump and Republicans have a way to stop it.
Yeah, and even on CNN last night, Jeff Hunt, the host, were discussing how the Democrat platform is still having a lot of mentions of Joe Biden along with their policy positions, and saying intentionally how Kamala Harris can, quote unquote, stay vague about the specifics of her policy agenda going into the DNC and then even now coming out of the DNC. And so you're right. I think that a lot of people, particularly her base, but independents and moderates, you know, this maybe squidgy 10% in the middle that will determine the outcome, you know, people who are not just for every reason whatsoever, they will not be convinced, they'll either vote Democrat or Republican. These people don't actually know what she stands for, which is communism and Marxism. And I think that Trump is right to call her Comrade Kamala, but he has to go further than that, because I don't think that understanding what that means in practical terms for the economy, for the border, you know, for the average American who pays taxes, who doesn't want to have not only wealth redistributed, but debt redistributed, so that we're all under this notion of equity. I don't think that people actually understand what that means. And meanwhile, Kamala Harris is just outright lying and claiming that her policies are more like conservative policies when she was the border czar. They're letting a bunch of people in. They want to give illegals the vote, but she's out there saying that she's going to protect the vote and that she's actually the one who wants border security. I mean, these are just outright lies. But the fascinating thing to me, Jeff, is that she's standing for something that she knows that her own base doesn't want. And so she's actually on the stage of the DNC saying that she's going to enforce conservative policies because they know that that's what regular Americans, including their own base, actually want.
Yeah, Jenna, I've noticed this theme marching alongside radical progressives for the last 4 years of hiding the truth. Okay, so I'll give you a great example. There was a group of radical Islamists that were organizing and marching just outside the DNC in support of Palestine. But if you interview them and talk to them like I did, it's, oh, we're building a great country. We have a great vision where Jews and Christians are going to all live. You don't have any power. There's no democracy. There's no voting. There's no republic. We definitely won't give any LGBTQ or abortion rights. But we're going to build this great little community that's going to exist where everybody's happy. And then when you start to really press them on the specifics, they start to walk away, and when you ask them, well, give me an example of where an Islamist country has provided freedom for Jews and Christians, and they go to, like, vague Ottoman Empire answers from the early 1900s.
Or women.
So And so they get into these vagaries, and it's the exact same thing I noticed from Kamala Harris. She gets up there, I'm going to make America become this wonderful land where everybody has a middle-class home and tax breaks for the right types of people, and you get the health care. Well, let's get into the specifics. No. We don't need to get into the specifics. It'll all just happen. It's the exact same type of thinking that runs in the radical elements of the leftists with the communists, the Marxists, and the Islamists, and she's doing the exact same thing. But the problem, Jenna, is if you are an informed voter already, you'd be a conservative. This appeals in some weird way to the low-information voter that's just going to tune in, feel good about watching Kamala Harris, and feel like, well, she's just my gal pal, and they'll vote for her this November. Right. And that's where I don't know how conservatives answer that question. And I ask my listeners, Jenna, what do you do? And they come at it as a conservative. Well, we just need to talk about policy. We just need to talk about facts. And I'm like, well, if people cared about that, they'd already be conservatives. How do you reach an uninformed voter that's going to vote purely on feeling after watching last night? How do you respond to that? I don't know if I have an answer. I'm not sure Donald Trump does either.
Yeah, and that's a really great point, that for so many of these people that are not persuaded by facts, because if they were going to be, you're absolutely right, Jeff Hunt, that they already would be, and they would understand the dangers that Kamala Harris's worldview and her view of government present. And particularly when the emotion last night was supposed to be one of projecting joy and goodwill and for our future, for our freedom, you know, all of these vagaries, right? She never defines what freedom or the future actually look like. But it was there was so much attack. The emotion from last night was just a total outright attack against Donald Trump. And so they're trying, I think, purposefully, don't focus on our policies, just focus on how much you fear Donald Trump. So, for example, this is one of the attacks that Kamala Harris had against Donald Trump. This is cut four.
Donald Trump tried to throw away your votes. When he failed, he sent an armed mob to the United States Capitol, where they assaulted law enforcement officers. When politicians in his own party begged him to call off the mob and send help, he did the opposite. He fanned the flames.
So, Jeff, I mean, never mind that she didn't get a single vote. Never mind that the Democrats are for giving citizens' votes away to illegal immigrants. Never mind that she's not securing the border. Never mind that Trump was actually acquitted in the United States Senate of what she's accusing him of. I mean, the facts just clearly don't matter. She is going after that emotion. And if the Trump campaign doesn't have a good response to this, and if they don't get to the heart of the worldview contrast here, then I don't know. I mean, I am really concerned how they're going to put that emphasis back, like you are, after a whole week of the spotlight being on Kamala Harris. Donald Trump isn't used to the media attention being on someone else.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And look at the attacks that conservatives had in 2008. And I worked for the Romney campaign in 2012, so I have lived trying to stop Barack Obama. And the point was, Republicans never really did, right? The idea that Barack Obama or Kamala Harris, she is inexperienced. Well, that didn't matter in 2008. That they're the most liberal senators. Well, that didn't matter in 2008. That they're untested. Well, that didn't matter in 2008. I mean, so we're going at the left the same way we did, trying to argue facts. Go look at the policy, look at the border, look at the inexperience, all that. And there, you have an element of the electorate that's just going to shrug and go, gosh, I sure feel good when she's on. And what we talked about on my program, Jenna, was the idea of Oprah-fying Kamala Harris, right? She's not that likable of a person in general. And I've noticed a few things. One, she doesn't laugh with the microphone in her hands anymore. She used to cackle a lot. And I think people have said, we don't like that when she does that. So take the microphone away. So if you watch her last night, watch her now. She doesn't laugh with the microphone. So to avoid that, so she's learning that, okay? Number two, she's becoming your gal pal, someone that you can just hang out with and feel good with, and you're going to have a bunch of low-information voters. We see them on these man-on-the-street interviews all the time that are just going to vote purely on that. So I think Donald Trump and Republicans are in a very serious problem right now with a candidate that the traditional attacks, like Joe Biden, he's just unfit. He can't put a sentence together. He's out to lunch. That's what they built their entire strategy on. That's not going to work anymore. Nikki Haley made the point that whichever party jettisons their old guy first may just win. She may have been on to something. They have a tremendous amount of energy, which seems a lot deeper than just this cotton candy bump you might get from a DNC convention. So I would, if I was Trump's team and Republicans and conservatives, you've got to figure out a way to address that. You tried under the Obama years. You never really figured it out. So, Jenna, you're smart. You're one of the smartest people out there. What do you think? What do you think that Trump should do right now?
Oh, I completely agree with you, Jeff. And I've been saying for a while on social media, it's not going to work to just make fun of her. It's not going to work to go after her in the same strategy that they have gone after Joe Biden. And I think you're absolutely right that their whole campaign strategy was built on running against Joe Biden. And now they've got to change it up, because when you mentioned, you know, that they're framing Kamala Harris as kind of your gal pal, that's exactly what they did in 2008 with Barack Obama. He was the guy that you wanted to kick back and drink a beer with. That was how they framed him. And they're even using the same artist to put up that photo or that artistic work of her that is the same artist as Barack Obama. I mean, they're literally running their 2008 strategy. And so what Donald Trump really needs to do, in my opinion, is that he has to go not after the personality. He has to take the wind out of the sails of her being the first female black president. I mean, Hillary Clinton got up there and said, let's smash the glass ceiling, you know, all of those things, and oh, joy and peace, whatever, and actually compare her to Obama in all of the negative ways and say, look, he ran a campaign on all of this vagary of, you know, let's go forward, and, you know, wasn't it onward or something like that was his campaign slogan. Nobody really knew what that meant. And then show how the United States has gone so much more progressive. The Overton window has shifted since 2008, and say, do you really want to have an even more progressive leftist push into communism? He's got to take that strategy of calling her Comrade Kamala, but not just leave it at the nickname. Actually specifically go after what that looks like. Like, for example, to win the female voters, and James Lindsay has been saying this, a few other people have been saying this, not just me, Jeff, but, you know, instead of defending the childless cat lady comment, I mean, why doesn't he stand up and say, look, she wants you to be the childless cat lady that is afraid of walking home at night because there's so much crime under Democrats that you fear for your life, that you fear being a single woman. We are the platform and we are the party that want to actually protect you from the illegal immigrants, protect you from the crime, to say that if you are a career woman, that we will, that the government will actually protect you. And have, you know, some concrete ways of tapping into that emotion, because every woman who has ever walked home alone at night understands that. I mean, they need to give these practical, real-world applications, not just talk in, you know, the white paper sort of talking points that isn't actually tied to real-world experience. And if Donald Trump can effectively do that at the debate and actually stir up some emotion that is related to his policy, I think that's his only way forward. But your thoughts?
Jenna, you're exactly right. It is an emotional decision for a major portion of the electorate. You know, you can talk about facts, you can talk about policies, you can talk about the failure at the border, all that stuff. That fits very well for conservatives who think that way, but you do have an element of the electorate that's purely going to be voting on emotion. And I think a lot of conservatives will just laugh that off and go, you know, come on, you need to think this through, and you need to be more facts oriented. Okay, well, that's not going to stop that portion of the electorate from going on emotion. And to your point, safety is a very big issue. And under progressive leadership, a lot of our communities have gotten less safe. Now, you've had this kind of brief change where, okay, murder rate, for instance, in Denver has dropped. All right, but it's just the rate that's dropped recently. If you compare the last 10 years, for instance, it's gotten a lot worse. But communicating the fact that under progressive leadership, you are less safe, that's a really good winning message, Jenna.
Yeah, and we got to communicate that you are less safe under leftist policies and you have less money to spend on things like food and the rates of groceries are going up. I mean, if those issues, the economy and the border, if he can tie those to real world examples, I think that just maybe enough people rationally will be convinced out of their own self-interest. But Jeff Hunt, really appreciate your insights. You can follow Jeff Hunt on X. Also listen to him at 710 KUS Denver. And we will be right back to talk more about progressive leftist policies and queer theory when we come right back right after this. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for an entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Speaking truth with love. This is Jenna Ellis in the morning.
Welcome back. And we've been talking about the worldview differences between Kamala Harris, Donald Trump, the radical extreme leftists that are Marxist, they're socialist, they're communist, they are pagan, versus the people who want to uphold Western civilization that is predicated on the Judeo-Christian worldview, which is that the God of the Bible is the creator of all things, and the reality to which we are presented, human beings have no control to change that, and we simply understand that God created, he instilled all of us as human beings made in his image with certain inalienable rights, and the legitimate form of government is to preserve and protect those rights for all. So that's really what is at stake in this election. And when we're talking about any subject matter, whether it's philosophy of economics, whether it's the political theory about parental rights or freedom of speech or any of these things, we have to approach it from a fundamental worldview standpoint of what is the truth about human rights. And human rights being the rights that God himself gave us versus how the left want to transform human rights, meaning basically anything that they manufacture, which brings us to the LGBTQ agenda and queer theory and trying to reinvent reality according to whatever they want their image to be and whatever you and I think we want to be. If I want to wake up today and say that, you know, I want to be a man or I'm queer, or I'm one of 72 different genders, well, that should be fine according to them, and that should be protected by the government as a so-called human right when we know that is just utterly false. So joining me now is Alex McFarland, one of my favorite guests, who's the host of Exploring the Word right here on AFR, to talk about this concept that you may have heard, especially if you are an Instagram mom. I actually learned about this term from my sister-in-law, who homeschools her four kids, my nephews and my niece, and this term is neurodiversity or neurodivergence. And this is something that has historically been used in the context of trying to explain autism, but really has been harnessed by the left to basically advance queer theory. So I want to talk about this and unpack it a little bit and the truth of how the left is using this term. So, Alex, thanks so much for joining today.
Well, thank you, Jenna. It's always a privilege. I really respect the way you think and the content and insights you bring to the listeners. So I count it a privilege to be on with you.
Thank you so much. I always appreciate our conversations because you bring such great worldview truth and biblical truth to our conversations. And so this concept of neurodivergent, for people who haven't heard this term, what does this even mean and how is it being used in society today?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Neurodivergent or neurodivergence, as many of the mental health sites, if you do research on it, they'll admit freely that it's this ambiguous, amorphous term that means many different things to many different people. And Jenna, let me just stop right there and say, as we've entered this age of worldview and ideology being imposed on us rather than objective truth, I mean, you've got, you know, gender fluidity, you've got critical theory, now you've got neurodivergence. And let me say that these terms that just don't have concrete definitions, and they are applied as useful to the advocate or activist of this or that worldview. This is just part of, we're moving farther from reality and more to where each individual person can define reality for themselves. They can apply terms as it serves their purposes. And it's an attempt to legitimize behavior and ideology that simply are counter to reality.
Yeah, and that's what is so problematic with so many of these terms. I mean, even the whole idea of queer theory is that we can't actually pinpoint what gender we are or how we feel. It's all on this spectrum, and it's all very fluid. And so my understanding of how the left is using this term neurodiversity is to basically suggest that all kids, you know, process things differently and have different methods of learning, which as conservatives, we might say, okay, you know, some people are more concrete thinkers, some are more abstract, we have, you know, different aptitudes. But what they're doing is basically saying, so therefore the way that their brains function is different, and you identify this neurodivergent not as an illness that needs to be treated, but as something that needs to be identified and basically managed in a way that says, you know, we're all on this spectrum of how our brains function. And so since there's such a diversity, then where you fall on this spectrum can change depending on a lot of different environmental factors. So it's just another way to basically queer theory even the way that our brains function.
Yeah, I mean, just like critical theory says that, you know, whiteness is inherently racist. And by the way, I don't mean to divert here, but as you know, the ethnicity of Kamala Harris is up for debate, and on her birth certificate, her mother was listed as Caucasian, and her father was listed as Jamaican. I mean, it's so sad that for an ideology, they're trying to make Kamala Harris be an ethnicity that she is not genetically born as, i.e. black, just like ethnicity is assumed to be fluid. Now, humanity, gender is insisted upon as having been fluid, but this idea of they're trying to shoehorn in a concept, neurodivergence versus neurotypical. And what's so interesting, in the mental health world, there are about 7 traits that they're saying constitute neurodivergency. But the number one is inability to keep track of time, and then struggle to focus, hypersensitivity, and creativity. Now, I would just beg of everyone to, you know, I realize what you and I are talking about, it takes a little bit of imagination to even try to get your head around this, because 99% of the human race is going, huh? Wait a minute. You know, there's boys, there's girls, there's men, there's women. You discipline yourself. You study and work hard in school. You maximize on your strengths. You try to overcome maybe some deficiencies. I mean, Jenna, for 2,000 years of Western civilization, 248 years of American history, we try to work and improve ourselves, But all of this, let's just call it relativism. And there are many subsets that would include, you know, things like wokeness or critical theory, seeing racism everywhere you look. Now, you know, queer theory, neurodivergence. I'm just going to cut to the chase as a Christian. In John 10, verse 10, it says that Satan, who is the enemy of our souls, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jenna, I'm saying all of this pseudo-philosophy, this non-science, non-reality, it is dehumanizing people. It is basically saying you are helpless to change the feelings that dominate you. You're helpless to rein in the desires that drive you. You're just this brute animal that lives for sex and physical gratification. So let's go with it and affirm it. And Jenna, that is ungodly.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what these types of so-called mental health diagnoses and critical theory and all of this is advancing, and what their primary goal is ultimately, it's not to help people understand, you know, maybe a learning disability or a different way of processing things. It's ultimately to say that you cannot pin down your own identity. And so rather than, as Christians, we know that we are all human beings made in God's image. We have concrete, immutable characteristics. I know that I am a woman. My gender is an immutable characteristic. My sex is an immutable characteristic. My age, there are things about us that are concrete and that we can identify based on our physical characteristics. And that's what the left wants to completely tear down, that we can't actually define ourselves, and therefore we need all of these medical and mental health experts to tell us how we feel, and how we feel then is our reality, rather than saying that we are a created by an infinitely perfect God.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, one of the wisest things we can do as human beings and mature human beings is to acknowledge there are some things that I have no control or say over. When I was born, where I was born, the fact I was born and am a male, glory to God. The great evangelist Billy Graham once said that, you know, who we are is God's gift to us. Who we become is our gift back to God. And let me just say, because I know people will see it in the press now, neurodivergence is a vacuous term. It's a non-word. It's one of many, like cisgender and gender fluid and bi-curious. I mean, it's one of an endless lexicon of terms that are contrived. They're artificially just invented non-words to try to advance this ideology. And you know what's so sad and really demeaning and dehumanizing is this. I mean, if you read the quickly manufactured mental health literature, quote-unquote, about it, they'll say one of the characteristics is inability to solve advanced problems. In other words, you're just histrionic, you're not logical, if you're neurodivergent. And on the one hand, they want to legitimize something for which they have no science. They want to try to legitimize the idea that people are born gay or born trans. Now, they've got it 180 degrees backwards, and I apologize for the background noise. I'm in the Atlanta airport, along with three-fourths of the rest of the human race. But here's the thing. In reality, from a physiological standpoint, we are born male or we are born female. And then what we do with our lives and how we use our physical body are emotional and psychological and spiritual choices. But what the left would say is, no, your choices are immutable, your feelings are immutable, and what is fluid is your physical ontological body. That's completely false. You're born male and female, and then how you live and what you do is the result of your intellectual, emotional, and spiritual decisions. And I would say this, and we could unpack this at length, I'm sure. The worldview that is driving the left is anti-reality, anti-human race, anti-truth, and, Jenna, ultimately anti-God. It's not setting people free, it's enslaving people.
Yeah, it is. And this is why talking about these things matter, even in the Atlanta airport. And I hope that you at least got Chick-fil-A as a staple there in the Atlanta airport. I've been there many times, and it's such a terrible airport, in my opinion. But you know, this is so important to talk about, because the contrast that you made, Alex, moments ago between, you know, neurodivergence versus neurotypical, I mean, this is just another way also that the left is trying to tear down the imago Dei, the image of God in us, by saying that what is typical or normal or a standard of truth and an objective standard that comes from God, that needs to be torn down. And whatever is normal or normative, we should break free from, so that we can have all of this diversity and all of these discrepancies, basically, among human beings, to where we can't actually pin down who we are. It's all just based on how we feel and the diversity. And so when they're claiming, you know, diversity is our strength, what they actually mean is queer theory. They mean critical theory, and they mean we are going to depart from an objective, truthful standard and definitions and concreteness and reality, and go into this leftist utopia of queering literally everything, especially starting with human beings and our physical bodies, and now even into our minds, and saying that we're just on this spectrum that nobody really knows who we are, why we're here. We can't pin anything down. And they're doing this intentionally to try to blot out the stamp of God's image in human beings. And it's utterly wrong. And so when we look at where the whole mental health culture has gone, these terms that are so vague, like neurodivergent, it's not just about learning disabilities. It's not just about saying, oh, we want to help people process information and understand, you know, how my kid learns best. This is, it's very insidious and it's dangerous, because it's all predicated and grounded in critical theory.
You know, I'm glad you used the word spectrum, because the word spectrum, it can have some legitimate scientific and medical applications. For instance, they, like, in a chronological sense, they might talk about degrees of heart failure or degrees of seizure, you know, from tremors to grand mal seizures. And they do talk about an autism spectrum. And what's so sad is, in this alleged reality, which is not reality, but of neurodivergence, of people that are, you know, they lean queer, they are curious about being non-binary, they're using the term spectrum to say, see, we're all over this chronology. Some people are very straight. That's how they choose to identify. Some people are, you know, not hetero. They're you know, homo-oriented, and they're, you know, gender fluid. That is the absolute misapplication of the word spectrum. And just the fact that they would have to smuggle in autism, let me say, autism is not the norm. I mean, deviant behavior, deviant physical situations. Let me say this. The Bible talks about what God created that is good and right and true and virtuous. And then there are 10,000 ways that Satan and sinful man has corrupted that.
And we'll have to take a break here, but I want to have you on more, Alex, to talk about this. This is so important because, yes, there is a standard, and the standard is God himself. We'll be right back with more.
Speaking truth with love. This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Welcome back. And Alex had to go run and catch a flight, but I always really appreciate his insights and bringing biblical worldview truth to all of these insidious lies from the left. And when we're talking about, you know, things like neurodivergent, I mean, one of the things I just wanted to add to our conversation when we're talking about, you know, a spectrum. A spectrum, of course, does exist in reality when we are identifying what is a self-evident truth, like when we discover the light, the visible light spectrum, for example, right? But that has a beginning and end point. And that's the distinction and the difference scientifically between saying, you know, there is this spectrum, or when we talk about even, you know, something like a manufactured political spectrum, right? We at least have complete totalitarianism on the left all the way to total anarchy on the right. And we can pinpoint our bookends and say, this is these are all of the different points on this spectrum as contrast. And when C.S. Lewis talks about, you know, saying we understand our relationship with God because there is a contrast between who God is and who we are, and we can see that difference. That in the model of science is how we can usefully articulate a spectrum and understand why we are using that as a useful tool. So that is completely different than how the left uses the term spectrum. When they talk, of course, about, you know, the gender spectrum, and they talk about queer spectrum, and, you know, you're somewhere on this spectrum, they're using that term, but without any bookends. I mean, how many different genders have they discovered, or that's on, you know, Kamala Harris's volunteer website, and that the state of New York has added? I mean, it's basically infinite, right? Because they don't want to say that there is any endpoint. If somebody decides that they want to identify as some new manufactured gender, then that'll be added into the spectrum. So the point is that there are no concrete definitions. And that's how you can very easily issue spot and pinpoint what is a lie from the left versus what is a discoverable truth of reality that then we are simply labeling and pinpointing, and in order to discuss in our common vernacular and in the English language, or in, you know, another language if you happen to speak French or Italian or whatever. But language and the point of communication is that we can concretely describe what it is we are talking about. And if you have just this infinite spectrum of gender or feelings or identity, then you can't ever actually pinpoint what it is you're talking about. And specifically related to human beings, the left is on purpose attacking the physical body of human beings, and attacking now through this concept of neurodivergence, the brain and the function of thought, so that they can break down our identity, which is wholly, truthfully rooted in the person of Jesus Christ. God created us, and in Genesis 1:27, it says he created them male and female. Concrete. There are only two points, male or female. And they're easily identifiable, and they are in contrast to one another, and you can tell a distinct difference, and you can pinpoint down your gender based on your chromosomes, based obviously on your physicality, and you know who and what you are because the Bible tells us that God is creator. But this is where the left wants to completely tear down reality and manufacture it in whatever image they prefer to create, which goes all the way back to original sin, right? When we, you know, humans and Eve in the garden, the woman in the garden believes the serpent that says, did God really say? And that has been the same lie that has been perpetuated by the left, particularly with all of this critical theory and particularly queer theory. But, you know, all of these, this sort of Marxist utopian thought, and when I say utopia, it's that they are trying to create a reality in their own image. They think that it is utopia, or it's this, you know, haven, when really it is hell because it is in contrast to the truth of God. But when they're using all of these things, they will say, did God really say?
that there are only two genders? Did God really say that there is a normative standard? I mean, what does normal mean? Well, I mean, even if you look at the human body, we know what a human being is based on DNA, but we also know what a human being normally or should look like, right? We know that if someone is born without a limb, right, that's not some new species. That's saying, okay, that is something where there was a malfunction or something went wrong. And that's not commenting on that person's inherent dignity or value, but it's saying, you know, that there's not this spectrum of different types of human beings that we can't pinpoint down. We know what a human being naturally made in the image of God looks like and is created to be. And so there is a standard. And yet what the left is trying to say is that we can't look at our own physicality and understand who we are. And when we have to all answer life's most important questions of who are we? What are human beings? Who were we created by? Or are we just a total accident? And what is our purpose here? Is all of this just random chance, right? We have to be able to concretely and discreetly define the parameters of our existence to be able to rationally answer those questions. And this is why so many people on the left, and especially so many of these kids that go through this Marxist indoctrination camp that are publicly funded institutions, K through 12 and also college, that they lose hope and they don't value human life. Because if all of this is just a random accident and it doesn't matter, then why does morality matter? Why is there even such a thing as good and evil? And who says? And if there is no God, then what does it matter what the rules are, what, you know, some government or some authority like a parent or a teacher figure wants to tell us of how to behave and how to act? I mean, why should the left, in their utopian view, actually care about things like mass shootings? Why do they care about gun control, actually? If human beings have no legitimate value and purpose, and you can just go and commit the atrocity of 25 abortions in a van outside of the DNC, why should they care? But the truth is they know that human beings have inherent value and dignity and worth. They just want to be able to define when, where, and how, and why, because they want to be the replacement for God. And so ultimately, queer theory isn't about giving you and I the ability to define ourselves and to become the gods of our own universe. It ultimately is that they want to become God. They want their state-funded and appointed experts to be able to tell us what we are, who we are, how we should feel, and how we should think. And based on that, they will attain control. That is the ultimate goal of, and the ultimate outcome of critical theory, is giving the leftist, quote unquote, experts ultimate control over reality. So this isn't liberation theory. This isn't liberating you from, you know, your physical body and how you feel and all this. It's saying we will designate the experts to tell you what to do. And that's shades of COVID, right? When their expert, Dr. Fauci, got up and said, I am the science. And basically he said, science is whatever I say that it is, because I am the leftist appointed expert in this. And I can tell you and command you, the populace, what to do with your body. And if you want to exercise any sort of rights and freedoms in this society, like even having a job and providing for your family, then you have to go along with whatever the expert says. I mean, these are just insane concepts, but that is what is being openly promoted by the left. And this is why worldview matters. And this is why understanding the foundational theories of these concepts like neurodivergence, this isn't just about, you know, different learning styles. This isn't just about, you know, how to best help your kid in homeschooling or with his homework if he goes, you know, to school. This is all about not participating in their vague linguistics so that they do not harness reality and reinvent it in their expert's own image. So we have to be able to issue spot. We have to keep our standard as truth, and we have to actively engage. So you can always reach me and my team, Jenna, at afr.net, and make it a great weekend. We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.